Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Marks and Reese, we are back. It's a football Friday, but the Eagles don't play until Monday, but like still a football Friday.
Yes, sir.
All right. And on football Fridays, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and PFT Live and NBC Football Night in America joins us at 4 o'clock. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, guys? How are you today?
What's up, Mike?
Well, listen, the Eagles are 1-1. They're in Dallas on Monday night. If they were to lose the game, they're 1-2, Mike. I don't know if you know what their schedule is coming up. They have Kansas City. They have Tampa Bay 2 weeks after that. They're in Carolina. They're in Las Vegas with the Raiders. If they don't win against a beat-up Dallas team, they could very easily be 1-6 and 2-5, which is not the kind of season I was looking for them to start off with.
Yeah, I'm looking at this now. Oh, boy. Chiefs, Panthers, Bucks, Raiders, the next four games. You get a little respite at Detroit. But even then, Chargers are no slouch. At the Broncos, that's not going to be easy. The Saints. Man, there aren't a lot of soft spots on this schedule.
Yeah, not till we get to the NFC East.
Last six games, yeah. But I guess my point is that you're right. So if you want to remain in contention, and that still has to be the goal and the expectation, is try to get to 9 and win this division. Dallas is ripe to right now with the injuries, with the fact that Dak, he didn't look right to me last week. I don't know if his shoulder was sore again, but you know, division win, it could matter with tiebreakers and things like that. Like, this is a really important game this week for the Eagles, in my opinion.
Oh, every division game is, and if you can win one on the road when you know they have to come see you, you get a sweep of a team, you are in good position as it relates to that team. You still got the other two to worry about. I think the NFC East across the board is better than last year. It couldn't have been much worse. And it will be competitive, and that's why it's important when you see the teams in the NFC East that get these games out of the division, out of the conference against quote-unquote good teams, like the Cowboys beating the Chargers, like the Eagles having a chance to beat the 49ers but not coming through. Those are the games that are going to make the difference. I think they'll cannibalize each other in the division. Who can win out of the division, out of the conference, that's going to, I think, ultimately get that 9-8, 10-7, 10-6-1, whatever it's going to take to win the division.
How do you view this Cowboy team, Mike? I mean, they look very impressive against the Bucks in a loss, albeit, but they still look impressive, especially Dak, first game since that injury of his. And then, I mean, I know L.A. is not a hotbed for fans, and that's not a hostile environment, but the Chargers are a good team to go out there and get a win. I mean, how do you see this Cowboy team and where we should sort of rank them?
Far better than I thought they'd be, and even more impressive because of the injury issues, the COVID situation that took Zach Martin out of week one and forced them to skew heavily toward the pass. 58 throws by Dak Prescott in that game. He's down 27 for the second game. They had more balance. Tony Pollard emerging as the better of the two running backs between him and Ezekiel Elliott. Micah Parsons, it wasn't quite Magic Johnson in the 1980 NBA Finals, but the fact that you can move this guy around and make him a defensive end in his second NFL game, and he gets a sack, a key sack that drove the Chargers out of range for a possible touchdown late in the game. I mean, this guy is the real deal. So they are much better than they were last year. And the thing with the 17-game season, every team, or at least most, if not all teams, are at some point going to go through this short-term,
right,
holy crap, look at all these injuries. We just have to try to dog paddle and maybe steal a win or two. Everyone's going to have that with 17 games. The Cowboys are going through theirs now. They get everybody healthy and back on the field and keep them healthy, they could be a very good team this year, and I didn't see it coming.
Mike, as a big NFL fan, I look at Mike McCarthy through various, from Hard Knocks to just watching the games, whatever else, and I don't view him as a very good head coach. What do people think around him, around the league? What do they think of Mike McCarthy, the head coach?
I think that, you know, it's very similar, although John Gruden is turning the page this year with a good start to the Raiders season, but you get that one Super Bowl win, and people view you maybe a way that isn't justified. When this was a team in Green Bay that had Aaron Rodgers from 2008 through the end of McCarthy's tenure, and he had one Super Bowl appearance to show for it, that's a major disappointment. And there are issues with McCarthy, especially if you watch the end of the game last week. Holy crap, the clock management. What in the world?
Well, he said the clock was broken, Mike.
Any kid that plays Madden looks at that and says, what in the bleepity bleep are these guys doing? And they're lucky that Lance Zierlein made the 56-yard field goal. Yep. If that game goes to overtime and the Chargers win, that's all we're talking about all week long is how Mike McCarthy manages the clock worse than a kid that just unwrapped the pack of Madden for the first time.
So true, man. It is so true. I mean, I guess this may be a question for another day, but I don't know why we're talking about Mike McCarthy. Why didn't Jerry Jones just name Kellen Moore the head coach? I mean, he does. McCarthy doesn't get the call to plays. Yeah. He's certainly not a leader of men. If you watched Hard Knocks, you know he's not a leader of men and some of that crap he was talking about. Why not just name Kellen Moore the head coach?
You know, Jerry Jones did this with Jason Garrett. He wants to be responsible for identifying and developing the next Tom Landry. And to identify him early, have him ready to go, just like Garrett was there ready to go when Wade Phillips was the coach. And maybe that's how this all plays out. At some point, they'll struggle. And Jerry will say, I'm not making a coaching change. I'm behind Mike McCarthy 100%. And the next day, he'll fire Mike McCarthy and make Kellen Moore the head coach. And he'll stick with Kellen Moore longer than he should, because he's determined to prove that he made the right decision and that this guy he's grooming is going to become a great coach. That's exactly what he did with Jason Garrett. He kept him so much longer than he should have, hoping that he'd eventually be able to say, we got our new Tom Landry. And I think now Kellen Moore is the Stephen and Jerry Jones new potential Tom Landry.
Talking to Mike Florio earlier, Mike, I saw a write-up on Pro Football Talk, latest on Deshaun Watson, and you've been reporting that the owner of the Dolphins is the one that's pushing for Deshaun Watson, but it's not happening yet. What is the latest with Deshaun Watson?
Well, Deshaun Watson is getting paid to not play because the Texans want to wait and get their maximum return on a trade, and they're willing to pay him to stay on ice. He's willing to stay away. He doesn't want to play for them. The league isn't doing anything until it has to. And if the Texans are paying him to not play, the league doesn't have to say, hey, you're on paid leave. He already is.
Right.
But the Dolphins, my understanding is, and I've heard this from multiple people, they want Deshaun Watson. Stephen Ross wants Deshaun Watson. And it wasn't the possibility of paid leave, because the Dolphins talked to the league office about it. It wasn't that possibility. It was the reality that the Texans want so much. It occurred to me the other day, when you look at the Dolphins' three first-round picks from 2020, Tua Tagovailoa, Austin Jackson, and Noah Igbinoghene, I mean, you'd gladly give those three guys up as part of a package to get Deshaun Watson. So quit, and this is my advice to the Dolphins, quit regarding that unused lottery ticket like it's a definite Powerball winner, and just give it up. Just give it up, because you've seen time and again, once you scratch it off, there's nothing there, or it's not as good as you thought it was going to be. Trade him in for the sure thing. Let the Texans have those picks. Don't worry about what they do with them. And you know you have your franchise quarterback. So Ross wants him. My advice to Ross is not that he'd ever listen to me. Just do it. Just pay what it takes. Because if you wait until March and maybe there's four or five other teams that are serious about Deshaun Watson, there's a chance the price goes up.
Yep, the Eagles may be one of those.
I'm sure that's what Houston would prefer, right?
Well, that's why they're willing to wait. That's why their price right now is what it is, because they recognize if they get to March, it's not going down. There's a chance it goes up.
Yep.
Taunting penalties in the NFL. Do you believe that the NFL is making a wise decision in emphasizing that?
Well, I believe the NFL is doing a very poor job in communicating and explaining it. I think it's a PR failure for the NFL, up to and including this fact that they leaked to USA Today that 9 of the 11 calls made this year were accurate. Well, you know what? Two of them were wrong. That's more than 18%. That's an 82. That's a C, baby. That's not good. And then they refused to say which calls were the bad calls. Gee, thanks for helping us understand what the rule does and doesn't allow. This rule was put in place in 1993. They have on multiple occasions issued a point of emphasis for taunting, which is a nice way of saying the officials aren't enforcing the rule consistently and accurately. And I look at it this way. The rule's on the books. The rule's been on the books. It's good for everyone if it's enforced consistently. Everyone
right.
knows what's allowed and what isn't. And I don't know how this got all twisted up, especially on social media. They say, no fun league. You can't celebrate. You can celebrate. Just don't stick your crotch in someone's face when you do. Don't, you know, don't flex on a guy who you just tackled. Go flex to the home crowd. Mm-hmm. It's simple. And I think a guy like Bill Belichick knows how to coach his guys to not do it. It's the challenge for every coach to get his guys to know what they can and can't do after the play. You can celebrate. Just don't get in someone's face when you do it.
But here's my only problem with it, Mike. And I think most of us don't want taunting, any type of unsportsmanlike sort of conduct happening out there on the field. But I also believe the average fan knows what over-the-line taunting is. And with today's players, they walk that fine line. But here's my problem with the league on it. Where'd the issue come from? Where did this issue arise from? Are players complaining that other guys are taunting them and they want it to stop? Like, who complained to the league about taunting?
Well, this is part of the PR failure because Rich McKay, the chairman of the competition committee, said several weeks back that the union wanted this, and the union comes out and says, we didn't want this. we weren't asking for it. Here's what I think happened. I think that the problem came from Tyreek Hill throwing
yes.
up the deuces in the yep. face of defensive backs and not getting called. And so he kept doing it. He'd get fined from time to time, but he wouldn't get called for it. He did it to Antoine Winfield Jr. last year when the Chiefs
yep.
beat the Buccaneers. So what happens at the end of the Super Bowl? When the moment is decided and 100 million people are watching and Don Meredith somewhere is singing, turn out the lights, the party's over, Antoine Winfield sticks his fingers in Tyreek Hill's face and gladly takes the penalty, which is basically sticking his middle finger in Tyreek Hill's face.
Yes.
My guess is that's what got somebody. The commissioner, John Mara, somebody in a position of power to say, okay, don't we have a rule that prevents this? How did we get to this point where Winfield did what he did at a time when it didn't matter? Oh, because Tyreek Hill does it and gets away with it. Hey, guys, we got to enforce this rule. This rule's on the books, and it's been on the books for 28 years. I think it's that simple. Usually, for something like this, the simplest explanation is the accurate one, and I think that's what gave rise to this. But they did a bad job of making it known, getting the media on board with it, getting people to explain it and understand it. The explanations this week from Ron Rivera, Mike Tomlin, very reasonable. They should have done that in July.
Right.
This thing got out of the bar in a bad way, and now nobody wants to. You know how we are. We come up with a position, and we don't want to change our minds about it.
And by the way, that Antoine Winfield, that was a taunting penalty. I mean, that was a blatant taunting penalty, but I know why he did it. And he did it to taunt him and knew he was going to get a 15-yard penalty.
He was getting him back.
Yes.
And one of the things they're trying
yep.
to avoid is, If you taunt someone in a game, that guy's going to try to get you later.
Right.
He's going to try to get you during a play. Even with a legal hit, he's going to come give you a hard legal hit. Or maybe he's going to get you after the whistle. Or maybe he's going to get you low. He's going to come try to get you, and then it can escalate. You can get guys injured unnecessarily. You could have a full-out brawl. People ask me, well, how many full-out brawls do we see in games? Well, we don't see many, but you know what? During training camp, it seems like we see one every other day. So it'll happen if you don't nip these things in the bud. And again, I hate that I have to be the one to explain that on behalf of the league. They screwed this up by not getting people on board with it, and it irritates the hell out of me that I'm standing here taking bullets because people don't want to hear it. Old man, we'll get off your lawn. That's not the point. I'm trying to explain what the league's doing here. And I wish they would have done a better job of it in the first place so I wouldn't have to.
Well, you did a great job of explaining it then. I agree with you. I think that's where it came from, that Super Bowl play. You got millions upon millions of people watching. And it makes sense. And typically, as the NFL does, they overcorrect. And now everybody's mad about it.
Right. And some think that as we get deeper into the season.
Yeah, they won't do the same thing.
Decide.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, how hard can it be for the coaches to drill into the heads of the players what it takes to avoid giving up 15 yards of field position? I don't think it's that complicated. And I bet if we went back over the past 28 years, or more specifically the 22 years that Bill Belichick's been in New England, they probably have never had a taunting penalty.
Not many. Mike, Cowboys, you have the Cowboys winning Monday night?
Yeah, a home team in a division game like this, and I think the Cowboys all in all have looked better. I'm encouraged by the Eagles, though. I'm encouraged by what they did to the 49ers. I think that that was one of the more underrated stories of the week. That's the problem with so many games played in one day. Some of them get overlooked, but Eagles fans should feel good about where the team is. But you're right about that schedule, man. It's time to start stealing a couple W's because the L's are lurking.
Mm. Talk to you next week, Mike. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Yep. Yeah, like, he's like saying, like, real time looking through the schedule, he's, whoa.
Yeah.
This is tough for the Eagles coming up. Here's my problem with the taunting stuff, and it was the Seattle game where it was a third down. It would have been a fourth down. It totally changed the game.
I didn't think that was worth the penalty.
And it wasn't.
No.
Right? Like, because all he did, he got up after making a play and flexed.
And he quickly realized and turned away.
It wasn't an extended flex. It wasn't totally in his face.
Yeah.
To where, was it necessary? Like, it was borderline at best.
But that's the one that they've let go. Like he said, taunting has been in forever. They just know how to judge a taunting penalty. And in years, that would not have been a taunting penalty.
And even now, I can't imagine it's being done consistently across the league. The play that happened in Seattle, I don't think happens at every stadium if the same thing happens. Mm-hmm. And then by week six or week seven, they're not calling these anymore.
Oh, by the way, see how many they call against the offensive players when they jump up and flex.
Right.
The wide receiver.
Not many.
The running back when he jumps up and flex in front of a guy. Remember Michael Parsons, the first game, he was trying to tell on somebody, like, hey, you see, he's taunting me.
And they're like, nah, it's not the same.
He got mocked the next day, like, oh, dude, you're a big linebacker and you want the ref to throw a flag for taunting. Well, I mean, if it's a rule, it's a rule.
Well, they're going to throw it on him.
Is he going to get it if he does the feed me on Monday?
Exactly. And is that not – well, and if you do it in the direction of any Eagle player –
no, but it's such a great point. And text Florio and tell him to look out for that because you're so right. Because they get up, they drop the ball right in front of their face. They signal for a first down.
Spin the ball.
And you never even think about getting taunting. Because everybody realizes if you take the ball and you put it in his face or you get in his face,
that's one thing. Yeah.
But they're not calling just that.
Yeah.
They're calling borderline taunting penalties that were never called before.
Yeah. Defensive player can't show any emotion.
Right. So how about this?
They would have thrown Dalk out of a game 8 times.
Yeah. Holy cow. Lamar Jackson does a somersault into the end zone. That's not as much of a taunt as what the guy did in Seattle?
Well.
You know what I mean?
He injured himself doing that.
And he did. See, I don't want him penalized for it. My point is, what's more of a taunt? Some guy that makes a tackle and flexes? Or Lamar Jackson saying, you're so bad, I'm going to do a somersault into the end zone?
My hope is that the first four games of the season, they overcorrect, and then they let this thing go.
Yes, yes.
I'm hoping that's what's going to happen.
Normally,
can you imagine
it does.
If we lose a game because one of our DBs or our D linemen celebrate it?
No, Seattle lost that game.
Yes,
and that was a big spot.
And like you said, that extended the drive.
That was the third
Tennessee
down.
Tennessee went and scored.
Yep, that was the third down.
Wow.
Yep.
You had a couple questions, Florio. I got that. And since when is an 82 and a C? When I went to college in 82, it was a B.
Well, he went to law school, so maybe
higher standards there?
Listen, they have changed the grading scale.
Is that right?
Yes. I think anything under an 85 might be a C.
Man, 82 has been a B my whole life.
Me too.
I strove for an 82.
I don't know.
And so I'm telling you, in some educational systems, man, it's a different grading scale.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm like, I didn't even want to see a B minus at 82. I need the regular B. If I got an 82, I need a B, not a B minus.
Listen, anytime I had B's on my report card, I didn't care if it was a minus, a plus, or whatever it was. I ran with it.
Well, that's a win.
Whatever. His point is that it ain't all that great. If you miss that many calls, if you're missing 20% of your calls, that's not good.
Yeah. Don't tell parents out there that. I mean, 82 is pretty good.
And I wanted to ask him about, we had to move past it. It was like the Giants defensive lineman that jumped off sides on that field goal.
Yes.
The referee, the NFL came out, well, they actually leaked it to this Mark Maskey guy who writes in Washington that it was the correct, they just said it's the correct call. Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't release the actual footage to prove whether he was offsides or not. Because they have that. They have the line of scrimmage camera they can release, which they didn't. Mm-hmm. They just say, it was the right call. Okay, well, then put the information out there. How is it the right call? You show us.
Well, they're not going to change it.
No, I know, but they made, because it was a controversial call.
Oh, I know.
And when people got a hold of the video, they're like, no, this isn't it. So they just say, oh, no, that was the right call.
Yeah.
We'll move on. We checked it. It was the right call. Believe us, please. All right, 215-592-9494. I wanted to share this as far as it being a must-win for the Eagles. this Monday night against the Cowboys. And forget about the schedule for a second. And this is from Silvio, who DMs me. He said, week three in 2017 pretty much jump-started our run to the Super Bowl. So, of course, Monday is a huge game. Right, like, so it's more about, it's less about a win or a loss and more about, like, what this can do for the season. What this can do as far as confidence and getting this team going to where, all right, maybe they lose to Kansas City, but they steal one of these other games that we're already putting down as an L. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of going 1-3 in the next four, you go 2-2 after you beat the Cowboys, right? So, I mean, it's like, it's true. It really is. Lose to the Cowboys, not look good. What's the confidence of this team with Kansas City coming in, with Tampa Bay coming in, with needing to go on the road against Carolina, right? Like,
you mean the fan base or the players?
The players.
Well, the players need to remain confident regardless of who they lose to. I mean, they get paid to go out there and play. I mean, they're going to win every game, but, I mean, these aren't kids.
Do they remain confident after the losing
games?
I'm
sure they do. Yeah, I mean, it depends on how many you lose.
Right.
They're not going to lose confidence after losing Monday night. If they lose Monday night, they aren't going to, what, are you going to throw the season away?
No, it's not that. It's more the snowball effect of 1-2, all right, we lost to the Cowboys, let's go. And then it's like, oh, Chiefs.
But here's the thing, though, John. The point is that even winning Monday doesn't mean you're going to beat the Chiefs, the Bucks, the Panthers, the Raiders. So, okay, you're instead of 1-5 or 1-6, you're 2-5.
Right. I mean, if they don't win week three in 2017, do they get going like they did? I mean, probably, right? I mean, it was a good team, but it didn't feel – I mean, week three, it certainly didn't – you didn't sense that yet.
Yeah, but 2017, you were so much better at damn near every position than you are right now. And think about that team in 2017. What area of this team is better than that team?
Well, your franchise players are now older, still on the team, but much older. They were in their prime then.
Right.
Yeah. No, agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Fletcher was in his prime. Brandon was in his prime. Yeah. Brandon Brooks was in his prime. Lane.
Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
All the best players were, they're now 5 years older.
Yes.
Right?
That's like dog years in football. Yes.
Sorry, 4 years older.
Frankly, surprised some of them are still here.
Right?
It's a good line, Jack.
215-592-9494.
Well, maybe we did finally move on from Jason Peters.
Well, it took a long time to get there, though, pal. He was 38. It
just happened last year, yeah. Yes.
But is that part of the problem? At least
of course it is.
Yeah, of course it is.
Well, it's what happens when you can't draft and replace these guys.
Well, hey, Mailata looks like a good seventh-round draft pick.
Oh, no, we're about to see our first-round offensive tackle.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, Andre Dillard, baby.
Yeah.
Well, but Ike, Howie and the coach were just telling me how great Dillard was, and they have two starting left tackles.
It was a close competition.
We're about to find out.
Can we find that? Because then no one should be worried at all on Monday night if Jordan Mailata, it doesn't seem like he's playing with a sprained MCL.
Right. It should be no drop-off.
So that no drop-off at all. It was a neck-and-neck race. Marks and Reese. Your calls, must win on Monday night?
Oh,
you're going to say no, but I don't care. Doc Rivers continued his media tour today.
Awesome.
Only in Philadelphia.
Someone needs to shut him up now. Compare dealing with Ben Simmons' camp to somebody. Wait till you hear this. You will not believe it. I'll give you that in the most recent report on teams that are interested in Ben Simmons. All of a sudden, everybody wants Ben Simmons. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.